Hello, listeners. Welcome to this week's episode of Infamous Eternal Champions. I'm Jeremy. I'm here with my most awesome co-hosts, Aaron and Kenny. How are you doing tonight, Aaron?
Top of the world, Jeremy. How are you doing?
Top of the world. I am fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. And one of these days, I will win a game of Judgment.
Not if I have anything to say about it.
I know. Not this week. Kenny, how are you doing?
Oh, pretty good. No complaints, really.
Good. Okay. No complaints, huh?
No. Other than I haven't got to really play much. I don't think I've played Judgment since the tournament.
Really?
I've been very busy. This is starting to get to be my busy season, and then we had that tournament for MCP. No, I take it back. We played Thursday night, didn't we?
Well, yeah. Is beating me just so uninteresting you just don't remember?
Yeah, well, you know, they all kind of blend together, I guess.
All the beatings just merge into one giant beating?
I've been so just kind of strung out with work, I forget.
Yeah. And I mean, at the time when we play, it's like you've been up for what, like 20 hours or something?
Yeah, I get up. I've been getting up earlier on Thursday so I can get to the game store at an earlier time. Mm-hmm. So I get up on Thursday specifically like 3:45, 4. I am at work by 4:30, and then I don't get off work till like 3. So 2:30, 3 o'clock-ish.
That's not cool. I think we should all retire. Aaron, how's retirement going?
Let's call it quasi-retirement. I actually have two jobs.
Mm.
Quasi-retirement is going fantastic.
Is one of your jobs painting miniatures?
No, that's a hobby, Kenny.
Huh. That's a job. I don't get paid for it. I donate my time.
All right, so quick announcements. We have made it 2 months. Can you believe it?
2 months, really?
We've been on air. We've been killing it. We've been throwing truths and information and something into the universe, whatever this is.
I don't know about truths. I get corrected a lot.
Speaking of that, editor's notes. What did we screw up last time? Anything?
Everything.
No.
No, we didn't.
We screwed nothing up, Kenny.
No, it was Fazeel's level 2 power is what I screwed up, apparently.
No. So I'm gonna. I realize I ragged you on the Discord, but I will back you up on air. You had an interpretation of his ability based off of the English language that made complete sense. And when you explained it last time on air, I was like, you're right. I honestly don't know how this is supposed to work. So you were playing it contrary to the way it in the community has been being played, but that doesn't mean that you were wrong.
So it wasn't defined as wrong. It was defined as, here's the way we do it.
Correct.
I think it was... I don't even know if it was defined that way, was it?
I think so. I think the way that everyone has been playing it is he doesn't overleech. His base health does not go up unless his current health is already at his maximum base health. Now, again, we won't rehash it, but there is definitely a way to interpret the English words of his card the way you did, which is his max base health would go up every one regardless of his current health. That's just not the way it is currently, quote-unquote, played. And I am happy to play it the way the community does, right? I'm not about making waves. Kind of. But
so, I mean, I guess that could get into, like, gaming etiquette. If for example, Robbie and I are standing at a table at Adepticon and we're playing a game, and I interpret it one way and he interprets it the other, I mean, how do we play the game? So there should be
Judge.
Probably... Well, right. But I'm more than willing to go with what the general community agrees with, because I don't want to end up on Reddit under the "Am I the asshole?" forum.
Right. You know, it's just like... all I think about is how close to being a GW rules lawyer am I? Like, there's a line, if I think I'm ever across that line, I slap myself and take a step back.
Well, now I feel like I want to slap myself and be like, nope.
No. Again, without any knowledge, you were just interpreting the card a certain way, right?
Correct.
Which is fine. So now, if you were to take the stance and be like, I will play Fazeel this way until they change this card, and you're the only person in the world playing it that way, then yeah, you're probably dying on a hill you shouldn't die on.
Yeah, and I will not die on that hill.
Right. So that's all we're saying, is that it was an interesting English language confusion regarding the card. Maybe it'll get cleaned up here in the future. Maybe it won't. But for a playability, I think we're all good now. On the same page, if you will.
I concur.
What was it that was happening earlier, like this week when we were playing games and we couldn't really figure it out and you had to look it up on the forum, Aaron?
Kogan. So that's an interesting one. So Kogan's level 3, Buckshot. I assumed it was active for the entire activation. My opponent, however, did not think that it was active for the entire activation. I'm going to read it real quick.
Yeah, I'm looking at it.
After resolving a blunderbuss attack, Kogan may make a blunderbuss attack against up to 2 additional enemies. Calculate the attack dice pool for each model separately. Expires at the end of this activation. So, is it available for one attack, or is it available for each attack you make that activation? And again, the answer, at least the way people are playing it, is it's available for every attack that activation. It is just like Battlecry, which is what I pointed to, except Battlecry specifically says for each attack action. Buckshot does not. It also doesn't say remove this token once used or something to that effect. So yeah, there was some confusion as to whether it's only a one, you know, once per attack action, if you will, or if it's permanently available. So the answer is it's permanently available for that activation.
So let me process this.
Mm-hmm.
You spend a fate for Buckshot.
Mm-hmm.
You shoot somebody.
Yep.
There's 3 people around a soul pig.
Mm-hmm.
You shoot the other 2 people. Yep. That's 1 action.
Yep.
You shoot again. You shoot 2 more people. That's 2 actions.
Mm-hmm.
So you've made 6 attacks with 2 actions.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then you could do that again. So 9 attacks and 2 actions.
That is the maximum level that you can get to with that ability. You're correct.
Okay. I need to play Kogan. That just melted my brain. I need 30 seconds.
He does get... He's one of the models that... And there's not a lot of them, but he gets exponentially better with each level, I think. Like, it's just crazy how good that model is.
I'm looking at it right now, and I don't know.
Are
if
you enraged?
I don't know if this tear welling up in my eye is from joy or pain. I don't know. What the fuck is that?
My favorite is the fact that Aaron had a train ran on him by Kogan, and now he's running a train on everybody else now with Kogan. I don't appreciate it.
We can thank Sonny for that. Thank you, Sonny.
Oh, well, my God.
Sonny, I was wrong. I was like, yeah, Kogan, he seems okay. He was champion Kogan. And I was like, yeah, okay. Well, yeah, I found a model that I'm going to play for a little bit now. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, and the version that come running up on me with a damn Vorpal Blade, I about lost my shit. I was like, what? Yeah, that was cute.
That might be that might be the best level 3 in the game.
Oh my God.
Let's not spend too much time talking about it.
Sorry, I keep looking at it. I'm sorry. Yep, I'm gonna go ahead and just back out of this screen because I will stare at it.
Yeah, so with that, let's go to games played. You play any cool games, Aaron?
I only played 2 games, once against you and once against Perrin. So that was it for me for this week. It was a heavy load of MCP otherwise.
Gotcha. I think I played 3 games. I played Kenny once, I played you once, and I think I played your son.
You did.
And I did 100% losses. Yes.
But you 100% made each of us happy, though. Does that count for something in your
brain? I know. I'm learning about giving to others.
Giving to self-sacrifice?
Getting, yes, and joy that can be had there. I've been feeling down about myself, so I've learned that helping others, I guess this is what it's about. I don't know. I don't like it, honestly.
You're still in trial phase?
It is. This could end immediately.
You made me feel like I was soaring like an eagle.
Oh, when I was like, that's the best move I've ever seen. And then, you know, I was like, right. Right. So we played a few games. Did we add to our collection of things that were painted for the shop? Any shop news? I don't think so.
The shop is close to having all of the terrain printed, and after that, he'll print the final monsters, I'm guessing a week and a half from now, and then probably a week after that until everything's actually done and painted. So my bet's 2.5
The thing I'm trying to make a single page of just the monsters so I can put that page inside the box.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's just little nuances that you kind of forget from time to time. Is it a six? Is it a five? Does it, you know, how hard does it hit? But I want to do like a single page. The problem is I can't find like the images of like the PDFs in the right size or format for me to put those on a single page. It's really strange. Like I can't find exactly what I'm looking for, and it's making me insane.
What exactly are you looking for? You just want the PDFs? The pictures?
The cards, yes, but they're all in JPEG, or no, they're all in PDFs, and I don't want PDFs. I want it basically in like a JPEG or a GIF or something, so I can then drag it across. If I copy it from the damn JPEG, it's in such high art, like it's such like humongous pixel or whatever, like it comes over huge. I only get the corner of it. So I'm struggling with it right now. I just started trying to make this project.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't been able to do it,
which
is
irritating. I have an idea. Maybe take a picture of a model that you painted, and then you could transfer that over?
No, I just want cards.
Oh, you want the stats.
So someone's like, how much does the Kenneth do on a glance on its second attack? Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
Okay.
I just want a quick reference for all the monsters. And now, like, the new demons are in kind of a different location than... The other one, it's just annoying. There's a lot of annoying stuff happening to just do this one thing. So if someone out there was to create a single goddamn page, 8.5 by 11, that had all the monsters with the stats in like a readable format, thank you. Please do it. Go. Do it now. Thank you. Awesome.
Yeah, Jeremy will give you a shout out.
You'll get a shout out. You will.
So
just count, good old just fashioned put a W internet outsourcing. In the column. You get a free win. A free win. There you go. Done.
Just show up at the game store anytime on Thursday and you'll get a free win.
Yep. So that's kind of happening in the what's happening now. Okay, so what everybody's been talking about and is obviously the most important thing. Kenny, what the fuck have you painted lately?
Sweet. We're at that stage. All right. Okay. So let me turn here. Let's see what I've painted. So I got Rakir's cloak. It's nice deep red color.
I'm glad you're keeping with the format.
I've got Alendir. I did paint his bow. Nice mahogany brown. Shit. I also painted the tip. Just the tip. And I painted his like little jumpsuit. I painted the whole thing green, and then I'm going to touch it up with some stuff eventually. What else did I paint? I painted something else, and I'm trying to remember now. Lizard.
Was it?
That's MCP, though. I painted his skin and his coat. And then in Mizuzi, I painted his cloak and his little banner hanging off his staff. And that's it, I think. I think I'm good.
So you did not
yet... So you're still 100% unfinished.
Pardon?
You're still 100% unfinished.
Yes.
What about Fazeel? I thought Fazeel was done.
Fazeel is done. What are you talking about?
Okay.
So you're not 100% unfinished.
No, I got Fazeel is completely done. Okay. Isabel is completely done.
So you have... How many models are done? Two?
Three.
Three models done.
Drogoth is completely done.
And how many models have at least a part of their cloak or persons painted?
You want the names or you want a number?
No, I just want a rough number.
One, two, more than just a solid color. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. I can maybe get up.
I don't think he understands what rough number means. I mean, I don't want you to spend 20 minutes giving me a number.
Nine.
Okay.
Well, you got it, bud. You got nine.
Okay, I got it. Thank you for misunderstanding my request. Okay. So nine partially painted models.
10, 11.
I forgot. I painted that guy's hair.
Yeah.
Well done.
I
think you're making
I'm coming along.
The tiniest bit of progress, and I'm proud of you.
Hand at a time, Kenny. Good job.
Like I said, the goal is... The part of the problem is I'm trying to decide if I still want to play one Warband or the other. So I'm kind of between two worlds. I'm painting a little bit of both.
You can paint both, in fact. You can.
At some point, I'm really going to have to choose and like buckle down and get at least like half the model, half of every model painted so that I can at least play it.
Or just fucking paint. You painted the cloak, just finish him. Paint the hands, paint the head, done. Move on.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Right, I'm working Aaron, on it, man. Working I'm working on, right on it.
So I just finished up Skull Piper Victor and 16 tokens that are associated with the heroes I have painted so far.
So you painted 16 tokens in what? You said three models? Four models?
Three models.
Yeah.
Well, although I painted up those tokens at the same time I was painting the orcs. I think last week I had my orcs done. Maybe I didn't.
Let's say, are those the tokens that we saw?
You saw Thursday? Half of them on Thursday, and then the other half is done because they were Victor. So I have all of my Victor and Piper tokens, the Hex, the Taunt, Enhance Self, Duplicate Self ones. So that brings my total Judgment painted collection to 26 of a total of 57. That number includes the monsters.
Tokens.
But not the tokens.
Ooh, okay.
I mean, tokens, well, very I don't good. Know how many of those will be, but I'm guessing 45. I'm not counting those, but I'm painting the tokens that go with the people as I paint them.
So you're slightly ahead of me in the painting scale.
In terms of heroes, yes, I have 10 heroes finished, so slightly ahead of you, Kenny.
Slightly ahead of me, all right.
And, Jeremy, what about you? You count the total amount, Kenny would have 3, probably.
Yes.
If you'd put capes on guys who are not painted capes and boots painted that need boots. Hey, that kind of
thing. I have 3 models 100% complete. 3.
Okay. It's unacceptable.
I just want to say, so I did not particularly enjoy painting Piper. He was fine. I really enjoyed painting Victor.
He's a cool model, right? I liked him.
Yes.
I like painting the demons. The demons turned out really nice, too.
I agree. I always like painting demons and beasts, if you will. I just like the aesthetic a lot. Mm-hmm. Sometimes on a model, and you've talked about how you enjoy when you paint a lot of these models, you know, you do your whole priming and then, you know, initial coats, and then you'll just pick out things and new things and new things, and you're just finding new things to paint on these models.
Yeah.
So I find that to be kind of a turnoff sometimes, depending on what I'm painting. I'll just use Victor as an example. There's a lot of stuff on Victor and on his base, but it was, in my opinion, like the perfect amount. Whereas I'm looking at Kogan now, and I like can't even tell what the hell is supposed to be on him. Is this like a scabbard? Is this a random pouch? Like, I don't understand the detail that I'm supposed to be getting here on some of the things that are on Kogan. So
I had that problem with Mazuzi, so I started painting a little bit Mazuzi. So I did the trick that Jeremy taught me, where I dry brushed white over so that I could actually see what I'm looking at. I didn't even thought to do that. But yeah, I just painted him or primed him black, dry brushed white, so the detail popped, and then I paint the detail. Mm-hmm.
But for instance, like Piper, he's got the one of his self that's only half of him, where the other half is coming out of the stone wall. And I can't tell if the part that attaches between him and the stone wall is that like shadowy Piper that I should paint. Is that stone? Is that moss? Like, I can't tell. And I realize the artist in me should be over the fuck I want it to be. Is really the answer. But I am much more paint by numbers. I was like, no, give me something defined and tell me what it is so I can paint the damn thing. So that it's a personal thing. I get it. But that's why I had issues with the Pipers, because I can't even tell what it's supposed to be. So I made it wall. And maybe it's not supposed to be wall, and that upsets me.
So the issue is, I mean, most of the models that I have problems with, and you've named two of them, are starter box PVC models. The stuff that was molded doesn't look great, and like the pouches and stuff, like, I'm like, what the fuck is that? It ends up, some of it just looks like a square blob. Like, it just is not great detail, but that's the problem with like PVC. You get a model that's unbreakable, but you don't get the detail like you do with the resin, so... Yeah, I had the same deal.
I had the same deal, but again, I've had some problems with the resin. Now the newer stuff looks a little better. The Victor stuff looks like the demons look pretty good. They feel good, but my, like, for example, my Styx is also the same. I think it's the same resin, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I had problems with Styx, like both of his Some weapons have already snapped off. Quentin broke one. I broke the other. So,
I mean, you okay, treat all of your models like a $2 whore. So I don't know what you're talking about.
That's not accurate. $5. Okay. $5.
$5.
Love me long time.
Okay, so on air, what are you going to paint next, Kenny? What will be finished when we talk next week?
Finished? All right, my goal is to completely finish Allendeer.
Okay, what else?
And to completely finish, I'll let you decide, or somebody can message me. Rakir or Marcus?
Rakir is very easy.
Is he?
Marcus isn't bad, because Rakir's all cloak, man.
Oh, he's not?
What?
He's not all cloak.
Oh, are you counting the grenade as like some sort of humongous piece of thing to paint? Okay, he has boots.
Okay, all right. Now we're done. He's got a knife.
Okay, so
he's got armor.
Allendeer, it's a giant floppy knife, too. It looks like a dick. It's like all fat PVC knife.
I don't know what you're looking at, bud. That doesn't look like a dick to me.
Oh, right. Sorry. Listen, not all of this were created perfectly.
Now, Allendeer's arrow, that definitely has a phallic look to it.
So you will have Allendeer done.
That's the goal. I have Allendeer done.
No.
And
you will. It'll be good.
Okay. I will have two models completely finished. I will
perfect.
Not tell you which ones will be done.
Damn it. Getting excited about Adepticon yet? You got a list? Figured it out?
No.
Man, I want to play. Like, I've been enjoying playing Tomas, but I can't win with it. So I'm thinking I have to switch gears and play something like that is better, I guess, or something. Like, I don't know what's going on. I enjoy, like, the models, but good lord, it's just not happening for me.
Have you played Victor yet? With Tomas?
No one lets me.
Oh, okay. Wow.
I've never played him. I put him in a list many times, but no one lets me play him. It's the fucking saddest thing. So because
I remember
that I
banned him on Thursday.
Yeah,
so I
because
felt
no
bad
one
about
lets
it.
Me play him. No one lets me play him. So I just started taking him out of my list and I put something else in. I was like, fuck it, whatever, dude. I gave up on even trying to use him.
That's fair.
So Aaron, are you looking at a Krognar, or are you doing, you thinking Ista now, or what are you doing?
I don't know, to be honest.
I'm
to the point now where I really need to decide because I have to get some models painted in time.
Mm-hmm.
So on my painting table between now and then, I will be able to run Bruellen, Krognar, or Ista. So I still have 3 weeks to decide. I wish I could tell you that I don't know. I'll pick one.
Yeah.
I'm between two.
Is Perrin going to Adepticon with us?
He's not.
Okay.
So I kind of want to
all the models.
I kind of want to take his list because I think it's really good. Like if I was to take a competitive list, I actually think Ista is the way I would go. I think long term I am more drawn to Krognar in terms of a playstyle. So if I just wanted to get good with a god, I think that would be it. And then obviously the god that I started with and am the best with for now is Bruellen. And like I said, that was just a random, this one's first in alphabet, I guess I'll play this one. So, so that's where I'm at. I could either play the comfort blanket of Bruellen. I could start to get good with Krognar, or I could take what I think is best in the game right now and play Ista.
Okay. What did you say, Kenny? You hadn't decided yet or?
No, I haven't decided yet. I'm in between Tomas and Ista. My problem is I've got the typical gamer ADHD where I jump around. I've played everything except for Bruellen, and I'm trying to decide what to go with. But now that the new league, so I don't know if you knew this, Jeremy, the new online league is coming out. When does that start? Next week?
Mm-hmm, 11th.
and they're doing immunity. So we've been playing Veto this whole time, and they are going to do immunity. Because I was going to get off of Ista. Because I assumed it was going to be Veto, and I'm like, well, I'm going to go play Tomas again. Well, now that it's immunity, I'm like, well, how does that play with Ista? Well, now I kind of want to do it. So now I feel conflicted when I was pretty sure I was going to move to Tomas. So I think I might stick with Ista. I think I'm kind of there right now.
People need to stop playing Ista because I can't kill anything at all.
That's just nothing, the way I nothing play will die. Ista.
No, not just you. You're not the only one doing that.
Well, is it Perrin's list, like hyper aggressive, not healing? What is he playing?
It's all very the much the same. In Ista.
Oh, is it? Okay. So he stole from me then.
Whatever.
Pretty sure he created it with me on the car ride back home one day. So no, he did not steal it from you.
I think Ista, if you could play Ista and paint up that sexy model that you have of Isabel, that thing is awesome. That would make me want to play it just because of that model. That's the reason. One of the reasons I'm playing Tomas right now is Fazil is such a cool ass model, and I was so bad with it initially. I keep telling myself, I'm like, just keep trying. It will be good. So yeah.
She's scheduled to be painted next Wednesday. So.
See, Kenny, that's how you do it. Schedule.
I can't do the schedule. Every time you talk about it, I think about that spreadsheet.
Da, da, da.
And my eyes start leaking fluid. It's so colorful and ridiculous.
Yep.
I can't.
Insane.
Your schedule totally just cracks me up.
I mean, if I was to make one for you, it'd be like Rakir's hand on Monday. You know, Hallander's cloak on Monday night.
Hey, maybe you should.
If you stick to it, I'll make one.
If you make me a schedule, I will try to stick to it as far as I can go.
Oh my god. You've heard it, ladies and gentlemen. This
if
shit
you make
is
me
odd.
A schedule, I will adhere to it. But you need to throw some
you don't
MCP
think he's already
models
made...
in there.
Okay.
Because
he's
I need
already
to...
probably made us all a schedule. He just hasn't told us that he has a schedule for us all.
Well, Kenny,
and we all disappoint somehow.
You send me how much time you are 100% willing to commit to painting each day between now and Adepticon, and I'll give you a schedule.
So you understand I paint slow, right?
Like, yeah.
Very slow.
Sure.
Okay. I'm committed to 20 minutes a day.
Oof.
Oof.
You're going to have to give 30.
Okay. All right. I will commit to 23 minutes a day.
Oh, my God.
I will try to commit to 30 minutes a day.
You do realize that your models have to be fully painted by Adepticon, which is in like 2.5 weeks, right?
They don't have to be fully painted.
Okay.
There has to be, I believe the term was effort put in. So
people have no idea how much effort Kenny has put in on
so,
this.
So
all I know is that
a thousand painters in 1,000 hours.
I will immediately call a judge.
I feel confident. I'm very confident that if a judge were to come over and see the models that I present to them, they're like, they look like shit, but they meet the criteria.
That's all I want. All I want the judge is to confirm whether or not they look like shit.
Oh, I have no qualms about my ability to paint models and how shitty they look.
I mean, they're all basically broken at this point, aren't they?
No. Fazil is
mostly
still in
broken.
Perfect condition at the moment. Knock on wood.
I'll say the that sword is awfully fragile.
Yeah, well, he's the one that I pick up very gently, ever so gently.
The rest of them, you fist. You just, like, hot dog fingers juggle them.
Yeah. You God. Could say that. Sure. You could say that.
Alrighty. Moving along. So, our character this week, as we mentioned, is the sexy Isabel, which has a really badass special model with wings and stuff. And if you haven't seen it, go look it up. It is fucking amazing.
I don't think I've actually seen that model.
Really?
I don't think so.
So well, with the theme of avatars, Isabel is next. Aaron, you want to enlighten us about Isabel?
I'll at least read some stats and then you and Kenny can try to do the enlightening.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay.
She's a human paladin, bruiser, and enhancer. Move 3, mel 6, add g4, res 1, soul harvest 5, 16 health, and only in Ista because she is an avatar. So right there, that tells me kind of jack of all trades. Like 4-1 is probably the best stat line in the game for a non-defender, obviously. Soul Harvest 5 means she can take it on the chin and help as an off Soul Harvester, or even Prime if you want it. But Metal 6 means she's not actually going to be your melee specialist. She has a Holy Sword. Cost 1 AP, reach 1. 2, 3, 4 is the stat line, which just reinforces kind of your standard not top the line bruiser, but not bad. Our innate abilities are Honor. She's immune to curse, and she has a skill tree. We'll start with our first unique innate ability, Curse Bane. Isabelle's Holy Sword attack inflicts plus 1 damage to enemies that apply curse. Okay. Combat maneuvers, Smite for 1 J. Models damaged by Holy Sword attack take 1 extra true damage, which of course stacks with Curse Bane, so can do plus 2 damage to cursing enemies. Active abilities for 1 AP, she can Lay on Hands. Target friendly non-undead, non-demon hero model within 2 hexes. That model heals 3, plus 1 for each level Isabelle has gained. So a max of 5. And then Mass Restoration for an AP and a Fate. Friendly models within 2 hexes have all of their conditions removed. So that's base level 1 Isabelle. What are your thoughts, Jeremy?
I haven't looked at it, but how many models actually have the effect of Curse Bane? Like, I was looking.
So
just her, I think.
Just
no, hers. There's other models. No, I'm not saying models Curse Bane. Curse? I'm saying, yeah, models that have that.
Curse. So that can apply yeah. Curse?
Yeah.
Offhand, it's Dorgokin.
Well, Abathos does, for sure.
Uh-huh.
Styx. And Fazeal. I believe Victor applies Curse. Yep, Victor.
Cruel. Cruel's the big one that I've been playing.
Cruel. So you're okay. At 5. Does Zarin apply Curse?
If I played her more, I would definitely have some sort of note that I would have applied to the card. Yeah. Fucking models that you're hunting. Because that is humongous against those models.
Yeah, when you can glance for 3, that's super level mm-hmm. of damage.
Yeah. Yeah,
glance for 3 and then possibly do an extra one with just a random smite. Like, that's just a hunk of damage.
Yep.
That's really cool. But there's only a handful of those models that it can do that, so.
Right. I view that as, I'll give my thoughts in a minute. Anyway, Jeremy, continue.
That's the only part I see that is very interesting. I think Smite is like most models have some sort of, well, a lot of models have some sort of true damage if J or crit is rolled, some sort of silliness.
Mm-hmm.
So that seems pretty standard.
Okay. What about Lay on Hands or Mass Restoration? We'll talk about numbers here in a second, but what are your general thoughts about them?
Kenny, go ahead.
Mass Restoration has the potential to be, fantastic when you talk about, like popular models throwing out conditions. Alan Deer does like an AoE burn,
mm-hmm.
Astarial burn. Those are really, really bad. We talked about poison with Vizio last week. So if you're facing a Tomas Warband that, punches out a bunch of poison, this is great for cleansing that. Lay on Hands, I use this almost every time I play her, 2 or 3 times in a game. I can't stress enough how awesome it is to heal 5 without having to spend a fate for it.
Or be able to spend 1 fate, heal 5, and then she heals another 5, so they're up 10. That is just dumb.
I've used it on her, because she can use it on herself. So I have done that before, at her being at level 3, Lay on Hands on self, and then I spend an AP and a fate, heal. I'm like, well, I just healed 10 points, so your last activation just basically meant nothing.
That's her bread and butter, right? Lay on Hands. Like, that's her thing.
I don't know if she has bread and butter.
We can start getting into level 2 stuff, but I don't think she is a... My experience with her is she is a jack of all trades. Mm-hmm. She does just enough in everything to where I don't feel bad putting her on the table and just like naturally letting her just do things as they come. I don't really make a big plan for her. I just kind of put her on the table and say, okay, I'm going to go with the flow with her.
I'll concur with that. And then most of my play is into her, not with her, as Perrin's been playing Ista with Isabelle quite a bit. And yes, he will hit me with Smite and Curse Bane into Cruel. He will Lay on Hands a lot. And the Mass Restoration really pisses the hell out of me. just knockdown, and she's just like, no knockdown. And all of the setup I was trying to do for my turn just goes away. I always forget she has that until he does that the first time. And then I'm like, gosh dang it, it's Isabel again. Like, why didn't I ban Isabel? So, okay. Before we go to level 2 and 3, let's give these some generic ratings. Cursebane, how do we like that as a unique innate ability? And again, we've already talked about it. It's very thematic and it's good, but as in terms of power scale.
I mean, only like five or six models apply curse. I think one of those models might actually be the demon that Victor mm-hmm. summons.
Yep, Torgogan.
So, I mean, it's okay. I'd probably give it a 4 just based on it's only going to affect 5 models, but the 5 models it does affect it's really good.
Jeremy?
If it was true damage, I'd probably say a 4. It's not, it's just a damage, so I'm going to give it a 3.
Okay. I'm not sure that matters at all.
It matters in my head.
In your head? Okay. Well then, yes. I concur with your 3.
Who's
though.
Won more games? Calm down.
We'll give you the win then. Thank you. Clearly situationally great, but I don't think you bring Isabel just for Cursebane, right?
No.
Okay. Next, Smite. Kenny.
I'm actually giving this one a 3. While it's fine, it's great. Just needing to roll the J for it. And it is a combat maneuver. So again, I value displacing models. I've always said it more important than a lot of times doing damage. I can't push a model and do the extra point of true damage. So I'm giving this one a 3 because I think most times I would rather push a model.
Jeremy?
I'm going to go with a 5. I like the fact that the J can just be a point of damage on top of a glance. So it puts it at a nice little chip. I like that one.
I'm going to give it a 5 as well. I'm going to talk about two other models that I kind of like to use when I'm evaluating stuff like this. So Smite synergizes really well with what she wants to do, right? It's not anti-synergistic. I'm hitting someone, I roll something, I do more damage, right? That's obviously good. I really like that this game makes you choose. Do I want to do damage or do I want to push you, right? I have choices to make. Choices are great. So I love the fact that it's both synergistic and forces a choice. Because of what Kenny said, right? Pushing is great. Well, I have to choose, am I pushing or smiting? I love that. A model I don't love is Zanya, right? Zanya rolls 2 J's and 2 other combat maneuvers, and she's like, what can I do with these?
Nothing
but push, right?
Yep.
And then Thorgar's hurl, I've already talked about how, depending on how you have it set up, might throw him out of man catcher range, and then like, what do I do with my next action? I can't hit the person I just hurled away because they're out of range. And I realized, I think that was a recent nerf to move the man catcher range down. But it's very anti-synergistic. So I don't like those aspects of those two characters, but I really like Isabel's combat maneuvers because it forces choices and, again, it synergizes with her what she's doing. So I'll give it a 5. I think it is a perfect combat maneuver. Lay on hands.
Very good.
Kenny.
I would put this one at a 7. It would be higher if it affected like undead or demons, and I understand why it doesn't because she's a paladin, but this is really good. This is one of the things that she's going to do probably 4 or 5 times in a game at least, whether it be on herself or a friendly model. But Lay on Hands is great. It's 1 AP, doesn't cost anything else, no extra fade or anything. Fantastic. And it's 2 hexes away, not adjacent. Even better. Love it.
Jeremy?
So evaluating these, I always look at, is it winning you games? Does it actually, like, win? And this one basically does. It takes away a really solid hit that your opponent has done. It just takes it away. And it's only 1 AP. It's kind of ridiculous. I'm going to give it an 8.
I'm also going to give it an 8. I think you both are spot on. Everything about it is amazing, whether it's the 2 hexes or the max heal. You know, for 3, 4, 5. Yeah, it's really good and is something that you use a bunch.
Doesn't it? I mean, it seems like something that would cost like a fate or something. Like for just 1 AP and it also has a range, it's kind of crazy.
I think it's normal. I'm going to look at Nias real quick.
Because it's like, it's what, the second best heal in the game? Because I want to say Bastion's is the best. Like for a single target.
But that's
heal.
Really kind of what he does. So Nias is 3+1 for each soulbound to Nias and the friendly hero. I actually like Isabelle's more. So the range really helps set hers apart. But otherwise, right. That's both an AP. Bastion here is D3+3+1 for each level. So yes, Bastion's is higher, but also costs a fate unless you're going to call your effigy power early. Right. So Lauriabella, which we've talked about earlier, is
adjacent, but it's a pulsing
two,
heal.
Yeah, 2+1 plus friendlies and dwarfs. So something I want to say the standard heal is 3+X. X being something different depending on the person you're talking about, whether it's souls for Nias, you know, levels for Bastion, Isabelle, Lauriabella, etc. So what really sets her apart is that range too. Like she can do it from farther away.
Yep. It's good.
It's great. I don't know if it's 8, but
yeah, that range 2 is amazing. Okay, Mass Restoration, Kenny.
Mass Restoration is like I like it. I don't use it every game. So this is a reason why sometimes she gets banned, right? Because Richard banned my Isabelle when we played our game, specifically because of Mass Restoration. So it can ruin someone else's game plan if done correctly. So I'm going to give it a 6, with the caveat of, I don't use it every game, but I think that's more about the conditions that some models do or do not put on mine. Like if I'm playing against you with Bruellen, you're not putting a whole lot of conditions on me. Typically not. But if I'm playing against Torin and I'm playing Alan Deer and Astario, well, I'm going to be burning. I'm going to be on fire for days.
Did you give a number? Did I miss it?
Did I say 6?
You did. You said 6.
Okay. Jeremy?
So, again, looking at this and how it wins games, I think this is very conditional, using the word conditions. Ha, 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 ha. It's situational. I think it's worth about a 4 because it's so situational.
Mm. Well, I'm going to give it an 8.
Yeah.
We are all over the place.
We are. Great. I'm sure we'll hear about
talk
it too.
About this some more.
So the reason I value it so high is because it does something that almost nothing else in the game does, which is affect out of activation conditions, right? So in the game I just played against Perrin, I knocked 2 people down after one of them had gone. Like that's an auto soul harvest for me at some point, right? You're knocked down, I just have to kill you with my other 2 models. What does Isabelle do? Nope, now you're standing up. How else do you stand up your model once they've already activated that turn or that round? You can't. Unless Isabelle stops by and is like, hey, buddy, why don't you just stand up real quick? You'd live a lot longer. Oh, and also, what if you healed 5? And again, the healing, everyone in the game can do that. Not everyone. There are lots of models you can take to heal your people. But if you want to stand someone up after they've activated, man, that is so good. Like, I really don't rate this ability super high for removing poison or burn or something to that effect. That's whatever. Burn's probably pretty good because then you can heal them. But the ability to stand someone up, I think, is incredible. Specifically after they've gone when you couldn't normally do it. I really think that is game-altering in a way that no other model can do. So for that reason, I rate it super high.
So for that reason, I would rate it a 10. But again, most things don't have a knockdown or have some sort of... And if they do, you take this model and you say, I have Mass Restoration, I have an auto... fix that. That's why I'm saying 4. I'm not saying you're wrong.
Yep.
But it's so conditional.
Is there any other model that removes conditions off another model?
Yes.
Who?
Nias? Question mark. It is a level up she can take.
Okay. And is that it? Is that the list?
Oh.
Because I'm just curious because I didn't know about Nihilus because you don't ever take that the games we play.
I know. No one else comes to mind. I want to say there's one more that can't think of it, and it might not be another one.
Because Styx can't do it because it's conditions. He can't remove the conditions. He can remove tokens.
Correct.
So it's
That's right. Bastion does it with his attack.
Okay. So we're talking 3 models that can do it. and she hers is an AoE.
Yep.
You're slowly convincing me
that I'm not score is too low. Stumping for it. Like, have your own opinion, man.
No. I just want to take note that I was in the middle. So
I was very
nice. I was the voice of reason in this situation.
Okay, moving on.
She has, take my wins where I can.
Yeah. She has a skill tree.
She does.
When she gets to level 2, she chooses to become the Retribution of Ista, or the Holy... we'll use Avatar. Holy Avatar of Ista, one of the two. If she chooses Retribution, she gets really, really pissed, specifically she at does. Demons and undead and summons.
Mm-hmm.
So she gains one, an ability, an attribution increase. She gains plus 1 Mel, so she goes up to 7. She has an active ability, Holy Blast. Target enemy, summoned model, undead hero, demon hero, or monster. So undead and demon heroes, summoned models, or monsters. Within 2 hexes, and they take d6 damage. Holy Blast can be upgraded to cost a fate and an action. And if so, they do d6 plus 3, and it's true damage. What do we think about Holy Blast and her plus 1 Mel at level 2 if she chooses Retribution?
This is my favorite skill tree to go down. And even if you don't have a demon on the other side or an undead model, it still works. The Holy Blast still works against monsters and summons, in case there are any. And summons are apparently becoming more frequent in the game. We've got Victor now.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Gendris. Svetlana will be coming at some point, probably within the next year. I don't think there's anybody else that summons. But monsters are a continuing problem in the game as games go on. You get to turn 4, turn 5, and and monsters can snowball on you quick. She can help with that. And the melee 7, she starts really whooping some ass at that point.
Jeremy?
I really don't have anything to add. I mean, that's pretty much factual. I like the idea of having an additional, all of a sudden, monster clearing device. But if she's busy doing that, she's probably not in the heart of your list, healing and keeping everyone, like, full bore.
I mean, kinda. I mean, it's an active ability. So she could walk forward, she could do 9 true damage to something and heal someone for 5, for instance.
Yeah.
Kind of like Kenny said at the beginning, jack of all trades, she can do it all.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of all, right?
Yeah. I love how she flows in a game. Mm-hmm. Like, the way I have been playing her, like I said, and this goes in with her skill tree, is that I put her on the table and I kind of let the game dictate where she goes.
I'm going to give this a 7 for reasons you would want to level her up. And the only reason I'm going to go what I think is a little high is because if you want it, you're going to want it. Obviously, if there aren't a lot of summons or undead or demons on the opposing side, then maybe you want to go holy, right? In which case, this ability, A, isn't even on the table because you'll pick the other one. But if someone does bring a Victor or is running, you know, Drelgoth and Kane, you're like, yeah, I'm going to walk forward and just, you know, cut your head off. I think it's really good where it's needed. And unlike other abilities that you get when you level up, if you don't need it, you just don't take it. So, 7. What about you guys?
So are we rating these on individual, or do we want to talk about Holy Intervention? Or do we even talk about that?
I was going to do Retribution level 2 and 3 and then go Holy 2 and 3. It's kind of weird.
Okay. But... So level 2, I'm going to take the attribute increase and Holy Blast and kind of put them together. And yep. that's what's going to give me. I'm going to be at a 7 as well. I'd be a little higher if like the Holy Blast worked on everyone, but the upgrade had only worked on like demons and undead. Mm. Like that would be something like, oh, you can do just a regular D6 damage against anyone, but if it's demon and undead or a summon, you can upgrade it to this. I would be like at an 8 or 9, which would be cool, but it might be a little too much.
Mm-hmm.
But Holy Blast is great. I love it. And in a game where monsters can just be a nightmare to deal with, she can just deal with a monster.
So would you consider taking the Retribution skill tree, even if the enemy team had 0 models that could be affected? Like, if you just wanted the plus one mel and the ability to torch monsters, would you consider going Retribution?
Yes, and I have, because the list that I was playing, like, they would ban Brock, and I'm like, well, I need a melee beater or a melee bruiser, and then she would slot into that role for me. Okay. Because the list that I was playing really didn't have one. So if they banned, like, if there was a game with a monster pit, there was four of them, they banned my Brock because they didn't want Brock, you know, just eating monsters. Well, she slid into that role for me. Somebody banned my Saiyan one time because that was my only Soul Gazer. Well, she slides into the Soul Gazer role for me. So that's what she kind of does. So I would take this simply because she goes to melee 7. I give her the Vorpal Blade. Now she's melee 8. She's going to be my frontline bruising model, especially if they've got a model that does curse. Because if the more dice I roll, the more chances of me getting a J. So now I'm less worried about moving models around with her, and I'm more focused on damage. So she'll, so the more dice, more chances for a J, more chance for an extra true damage.
Jeremy, do you have a rating for Holy Blast?
I'm going to go with a 6.
Okay.
For pretty much all the same reasons you guys have said. I'm not going to repeat it.
Fair enough. Moving on, level 3. Sticking with Retribution, she gains Thunderous Strike. Enemies within 2 hexes take D3 true damage and must roll equal to or less than current agility on a D6 or suffer knockdown. Jeremy, thoughts and rating?
Wow. Things that knock things down. Whoa. For one fate, this... I've never actually seen this one done.
So I'm having to look at this real hard. I think I've done it. I think I've done it to you once.
I mean, I wouldn't doubt it.
I'm pretty sure I've done this to everybody at least one time.
It seems amazing. This probably kills things real good. So let's go with a 7.
Kenny?
Enemies within. Jesus Christ.
I am close.
Multiple.
I'm very close to a 9, but I want to give it an 8. And I love this for multiple reasons. But one is it only costs a fate, does not cost an AP. Knocking models down is grand fun, especially if you get a chance to knock multiple down. I've used it. It has won me games before. I've used it and it did nothing. It's like, oh, I did 1 damage to 2 models. I did 2 damage to another model, didn't knock anybody down. Cost me a fate. I put out some true damage. It was still fine. So it's got a very high floor and a very, very high ceiling.
Okay. I've never seen this used in game.
I've not used it against you?
No, you have not.
Okay. Well, I'll make that a promise.
You should. So if I'm rating this in terms of reasons I would level her up to 3 specifically for this, I think I'm going to give it like a 6. I love the ability. I love level 3 abilities that cost fate only, because you should have fate at that point of the game, and it's just pure gas on the fire. However, I am a player who prefers consistency from my models. And the fact that they're only suffering knockdown on a 50% or 60% or 33% likely rolls is great, but nothing I'm going to specifically level up someone for, I think. And again, I need to actually play it some more. I just think there are a lot of people who have great level 3 abilities that define them. I think this is icing on the cake and not necessarily a defining level 3 ability that would prioritize her level over others. So I'll take some spears here, but I'm going to give it a 6.
I would agree with that. This does not define her as a character.
Okay. Going back to level 2, if you're like, no, I don't want to do a bunch of extra damage, I want to keep my team alive, she can be the Holy Avatar, gaining Divine Intervention. Once per round, the first time any friendly hero model within 2 hexes is reduced to 0 health, instead of dying, it heals for 1. Unless you're an undead or a demon, in which case she watches you wither away into nothingness. So basically, she gives Brock's I Don't Die ability to anyone within 2.
Man, that's an obnoxious ability. Like, I didn't realize how obnoxious it is until it happens.
This starts getting real dumb real quick. Because I used this in a game. It was a couple weeks ago, and I can't remember. I apologize if somebody's listening to this and they want to call it out. I don't remember who I was playing. But I went down the Holy side. I had Brock. I had her. I had Sam with Agility Boots, Marcus, and Lorabella. And then I had the Elixir of Elixir Life, and on one model, nobody died. Like, it was just impossible to kill any of my models because Brock had his level 2 up. She had her level 2 up. I was constantly healing. It gets real dumb real quick.
You have a number rating?
I like this one. This one can be defined. I'm gonna throw a to do this for the. I'm gonna give this one a 7.
Okay. I'm gonna give him an 8 because she can use it on herself.
Okay. I'm gonna give it a 7. I think it's good, but can be played around and is very passive. Right. Again, does not really speak to its power level, but. I prefer being able to make active decisions with my models as opposed to, you know, oh, you killed me, now I'll heal one.
Yep.
Right? Or, oh, you killed me and got smite, I guess you'll kill me, I heal, and then you kill me again on the same attack, which is how that works. So.
Mm-hmm. Is that how that works?
Mm-hmm.
Because I guess you take the damage from the attack and then the combat, then you die, and then you do the combat maneuver.
Yep. So her Curse Bane adds one to the initial damage, but her smite is extra. And there's a lot of stuff that does that, right? So I agree this ability can be situationally great. Like, it can be like, I'm just one action short of killing your model. Because I kill you, you come back, and then I can't finish you off. That's where this ability shines. You're just not guaranteed that it's going to shine. But it can be super annoying. Moving on, her level 3, Holy Aura. Whenever a friendly, non-undead model starts her activation within 2 hexes, they can immediately remove a condition and heal 2.
I mean, I like this because it's always on. And that remove a condition piece, like I said, is a big deal. And it's at the start of their activation. So if you have Isabel, like you're talking about the knockdown earlier,
mm-hmm.
if you don't have a fate or for whatever reason something happens, you can move her or you can cleanse multiple. I mean, in a situation where it might matter. You can cleanse multiple conditions where you walk her once, do, like I said, wouldn't matter because they're both within 2 hexes. Yeah, that part wouldn't matter. But, I mean, you can heal. It's just on. So you don't have to worry about the fate and the AP. So like I said, you can walk her somewhere, mass restoration, and then walk her off. And then when the other model activates, it cleanses its condition.
You have a rating for it?
It's very situational, but it's like I said, it's always on, so I'm going to give it a 6.
Okay, Jeremy?
I like the fact that it creates, basically, for me, who I tend to get models strung out too far, with her, she's like, everyone stay close to me. And generally, that's a much more solid way to, I don't know, play this game most of the time. So she keeps everything in a nice ball and everybody's healing. And it's really good if they're within 2 and they get to start and heal 2 and remove conditions. I mean, it's kind of like, God damn it, I did all this work and I just took it away from you again for free. That's pretty silly. I'm going to give it a 7. It's just silly. It's free. Silly.
Okay. I'm going to give you 7 as well. So games often have... I think back to like Hero Hammer in 5th Ed Fantasy Battle, where you just constructed these units to carry your heroes, and they were just ablative wounds. And I think 40K had the same thing, where you just constructed these mega balls of death that was just your heroes running around. So Ista has the opposite. It's the ball of non-death. It's like, whatever you put in this ball doesn't die. And Isabel anchors it with her big holy sword in the middle. Perrin will get Isabel level 3. I'm just like, yeah, I need to undo this ball. Otherwise, I'm never killing anything. So whether that's pushing her out or pushing other people out, I just cannot let her essentially heal 8 to 12 every turn by people activating around her. And I guess 12 is not possible, but yeah. There's just a lot of healing and condition removal going on that you then have to play around. So it is super annoying, and I give it a 7.
Excellent.
Can we rate the Retribution and Holy as like a whole side?
Like whatever you want, Kenny. This is your oyster. We're just shucking it.
This is my... Okay. So like Retribution versus Holy, which one do you find in most situations to be better and which one do you rate higher? Like I'm going to give For example, I'm going to give Retribution a 7, or no, an 8, and then Holy a 7.
Interesting. Jeremy?
I think her ability to switch and the things that she can do, I like them both as about a 7, and I combine them just because they are both available for when you need it. So I mean, I think that makes the other one just as good as the first one. So 7.
Okay. I was going to do the opposite of Kenny and go 8 Holy and 7 Retribution, but I could see 7 on both of them. Or tell you what, we'll do a 7.5 on both of them.
Oh.
Last thing to talk about here, though, she has an Avatar bonus.
She does.
Or better yet, yes, the yeah. Isabel permanently gains fly and nimble. There's other stuff there, but in terms of talking about her, once you call it, she permanently gains fly and nimble. What do we think about that Avatar bonus, Kenny?
Phenomenal. It has won me games. It has kept her alive. It is chef's
so
kiss.
Fucking stupid.
Fantastic. I love
ignorant.
It.
Ignorant. Bullshit. Horseshit nonsense.
Have you found yourself liking that specifically with Retribution or Holy, or just in general doesn't matter?
Just in general doesn't matter. I will pop that effigy power and recall out because I've got nimble, or walk away, or charge a model so that she doesn't get hit on the way out. It is... And fly only works on charging. I continually mess that up.
Really? That I didn't know.
Pretty sure.
No, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, pretty sure it works on only on charges, because I have fucked this up before. So you're not always flying, but when you charge a model and you can, I don't know, I'm standing in front of Thorgar and are my new favorite model, Kogan, and I need to get away from them and charge another model. I can just charge over them, get behind your lines, attack a model that's weaker, maybe close to death, kill it. I do like it more with Retribution because I find myself going after another model. It's great. Fly and nimble together, fantastic.
Cool. Jeremy, you have any thoughts?
I think we might have lost Jeremy. What are your thoughts on it, though?
I'm still blown away by the fact that you can't fly when you walk.
You can't. I mean, it took me... Yeah, it actually took me playing Isabel probably 2 or 3 games for me to get it into my head. You can only fly on charges.
Yeah, crazy.
I learned that with Ankura.
Yeah, I think I think this is good, I would rate it as a mid-tier avatar ability. Again, I haven't played Ista very much at all. I've seen it played against me a bunch, and yes, it is super annoying to watch everyone you think is going to die to free strikes just not die to free strikes, whether it's their EP or her specifically. But they're usually using that to get out of danger. I would love to play her super aggressively, play Retribution, and give her fly and nimble so she can then charge into danger. You know, deep dive back lines, that kind of thing. I think that'd be some really cool play patterns with her.
But that is typically what I've done with her. But again, it is a great ability for one or the other. Like, I've used it to get out of danger, where I activate her. She's my first activation. She's got a soul or maybe 2 on her. And I'm like, well, I effigy recall, and you don't get to attack me because I'm nimble. I've also done it I do it more often than not the other way, where I charge another model to get out of the situation that I'm in. So it's kind of a double-edged sword, where I get out of the situation I'm in, charge another model, and try to kill it.
So overall, I want to say that I think Isabel is the best designed hero we have reviewed yet. There is nothing about this model design that I don't love. From a design aesthetic, right? She is not, like you said, she's been banned before. She's not an auto ban. She's not, you know, so good that she's just over the top. She usually contributes in Ista, and I think you can play her out of Ista. Jack of all trades, she just does it all, and her kit's very synergistic, but not overpowered. I love the skill tree choice that you get to make. There's just a lot about Isabel that I really like from a design perspective. So I think she's my favorite designed model that we've done so far.
Yeah, I was down on her initially when we got into the game. It took me playing Ista to really appreciate what she is and what she does. And now I think she is a phenomenal model. I really enjoy playing her. I can't say much more about her as a model. I think she is probably one of the best design models in the game. I would agree with that.
Okay.
We want to talk about artifacts, or
yeah, we should definitely talk about artifacts. Let me look at them. So let's look at the offensive artifacts. Obviously, like everyone in the game, who is doing damage, could have an armor shredder and be fine.
Yep. She loves also Vorpal Blade. She loves that.
I tend to play her more of a would want to play her more as a generalist, and there's usually my offensive powerhouse that wants the Vorpal more than that. But sure. No person who's doing melee damage is not going to want a Vorpal Blade.
Agreed. Typically, the two that I'm putting on her are, if I'm taking anything, it is Armor Shredder, Vorpal, sometimes Hunter's Knife, but usually not.
Yep. I don't think there's any specific combination of artifacts that call out to me. I mean, they're all takeable for various reasons.
If you can get the Demon Blade on her, though, because she is immune to curse.
There you go. Yep.
Is fantastic. That is the best offensive weapon that she can have. It's probably the best offensive weapon in the game. I don't have it in front of me, but what is it?
Plus one melee, plus one damage.
Yeah, and it applies curse?
Yeah. With a J.
Yeah, so she then applies curse, gets plus one melee, plus one damage.
Gets the bonus. Oh no, they suffer curse. They don't gain the ability to curse. I guess you wouldn't get curse bane.
Right. But it's still, she's doing plus one damage, so she's now glancing for three.
Yep.
If she rolls the J, she can glance for four. If you also curse, she glances for five.
Yep.
Dumb.
I like the idea of the Demon Blade. That's really solid.
That is, when the Demons first came out, the first game I played was the first thing that I did was ran Don Rigar over there to tank the demon to drag it towards Isabel. I kited that demon for like a turn and a half towards Isabel. I'm like, nope, come this way. So, yeah, it is, that Demon Blade is dumb as hell on Isabel, for sure. And then defensive ones, I put Bracers or Gift of the Gods on her. I could see an argument for Bloodsucker. I wouldn't hate it. Ring of Teleportation's great on anybody that's going to be in the thick of getting beaten on.
Especially when she has Nimble.
Yeah.
Goes and kills somebody, just leaves a pile of dudes behind. See ya.
You can give her Glyph of Warding. She is not a defender, so correct. She can beat Res 2.
Mm-hmm. I've
not done that because I just now kind of looked at it and thought about it. But yeah, she's not a defender. So, and then you talk about the sacred artifact that's for Ista is the Restoration Potion. That's the one that spend an AP, you heal an adjacent model for 10 health.
Mm-hmm.
So, I typically don't like having her with that, but she can have it.
She just needs the Canuck Potion.
Yeah, that one has abused you for sure.
Yes, it has. It has touched me.
It has touched you 1,000 different ways.
So, Jeremy, I want to talk about my game with Perrin. We can do it now while we're talking about Ista, or we can do it when we're doing Champions of Peasants.
We can do it now. It's fine.
Okay. So, Kenny doesn't know how this game went. It was a standard game. Perrin's playing Ista. I made the mistake I make every like 18 and a half games where I'm like, I'll let you play with X model. X model in this case happened to be Lori Bella.
Again.
Yeah.
Oh no, you let him play with Lori Bella. That's your own fault.
Okay. How much health do you think Perrin's team healed, not including regeneration or leech?
Did you keep track?
Yes.
Of course you did. All right, how much
health? Well, we had an hour drive home to calculate it.
Can I ask what models did Perrin play?
You may. Don Rigar, Isabel, mm-hmm. Lori Bella,
mm-hmm.
Piper.
Mm-hmm.
Help me out here, Jeremy.
I'm trying to think.
I banned Astariel.
He had, what was it he had in there? It's like it doesn't matter because they just were like clumps of flesh that wouldn't die.
So basically the healing models were Lorabella and Isabel, and we're not counting regen.
Yeah, don't count Donnie's regen. Oh, he had leech, so he had an undead model in there.
Or did he dab Bloodsucker?
No.
Did he take a Soul Gazer?
He could have Piper Soul Gaze. So can Isabel.
Did he have Mizuzi? I think he had Mizuzi. Yeah.
That sounds fine.
So not counting, counting he leech. Had
so not counting Mizuzi's leech or Donnie's regen. How much health did he heal?
38.
Let me guess, because I'm not. I didn't get the full number. I'm saying it was upwards of 75.
Okay. I thought I was being high, coming high end, but all right.
No, you weren't high.
It was 54.
Oh my God.
No. So for everyone listening, no. 54 fucking hit points healed. It was.
No way.
In fucking sane, Kenny.
He can't heal Mizuzi with Isabel at all.
It doesn't matter. Lorabella's healing 17 a time. She's like, poof, 17. I'm like, oh my God. Well, stop.
That's hyperbolic. That's not 17.
6, 6, and 5 equals 17.
6, 6, and 5. Okay. Yeah.
Yep, she's next to herself.
I saw it happen a few times.
Domregar was on one health. One health. He pops his EP. He brings all five models behind his effigy because they are all so close to dead. He spends an entire turn healing them. And then moves out. There's like, what do? I harvest the one soul that pops up. Okay, great.
What did he play? What god?
Ista? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no, he just, with his nimble turn, just effigy recalled everyone.
Yeah, okay. I can see that.
Just like, I'm nimble and everyone's safe. And everyone's healed basically over two turns. Heals everyone who is on one health. I just missed him by one, right? Just heals them all back to full. And the soul popped up on his side. Yeah, like I left Donnie on one. I left Piper on one. Yep. So 54 hit points later, he's like thumping his chest. Like, let's go again.
Man.
And I had like zero healers in my list. So he basically got to play, you know, two full warbands to my one in terms of hit points.
Does Para not get a gold star every cast?
I don't know. Awesome. 54. So just 54. Reinforced. Never, ever, 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 ever let Lorabella play in the game. Ever.
So she is my band bait.
I've been told she's fine.
Yeah, yay. Clearly.
She's fair and balanced.
Oh, she was at least 75% of that 54.
She might go in every list that I make from here on out.
It was.
Just as band bait.
Either that or it's like, or are you going to let me have her? It's like, band bait, or she gets Heartseeker and shoots the shit out of your weakest, you know, your lowest agility model.
Oh, he gave her Heartseeker and healed for like, yep. I don't know, 38 of the 54. It was insane.
Phenomenal.
Anyway, yeah, so you can do stupid shit like that in Ista with just Lorabella and Isabel.
Yeah. I'm assuming Isabel was on the holy side.
I don't think she leveled up.
Really?
Yeah, probably not. She just sat in the heart of the mess and just kept.
Lorabella was better? Level 3. Lorabella was level 3, turn 2.
Does that make you feel better or worse?
I'm just saying.
Who was it? Which Lorabella is fine. Which one of you double leveled in one activation?
That was me. I double leveled. I had Kogan level 3 on turn 1.
Yeah, Kogan might. Kogan might get fucking painted.
So I'll talk about that interaction under Heroes and our Champions of Peasants. But he did the same effective thing with Lorabella, killed the monster. The soul popped up near Lorabella, and he's just like, okay, I'll harvest this. So he's got a Lorabella level 3 on turn 2 that then spends turns 3, 4, and 5, and 6, you know, healing everyone nearby for, like I said, one turn was 17. They weren't all 17, but a lot.
Yeah. Nice.
I love it.
Let's keep it nice and svelte. We will knock out our champions and peasants. Aaron, you're on a roll. How about you start us off?
Okay, champion. It's Kogan. Inspired by Sonny.
Yeah,
cruel. So he was a champion of both my games against Jeremy and Perrin, and I played him very differently. Against Jeremy, I had Allendeer in the list as well, and he was not banned. So Allendeer got the Heartseeker and got to go sit behind a shrine and just pepper his team, while Kogan got a Vorpal Blade and got to go downtown with Battlecry. it was very effective, right? So just rev that chainsaw and go, boy. Yeah.
He was an unstoppable force, for sure.
He was. And then he gets to the 20 health by level 3, and you're just like, do I even attack him? I mean, he's got a horrible defensive stat line, which is his drawback, but he's got 20 health, so at what point are you like, it's not worth it? Against Perrin, Cruel gave him Battle Lust. I softened up Algarath. Perrin had Grenade pushed the Canic toward me to make me deal with it, and I'm like, okay. Kogan charges Al, kills Al. He was given a Hunter's Knife, or sorry, I forget what he had, nothing. I think he bought the Hunter's Knife after he killed Al. Got double pushes on the attack into Algarath to push himself next to the Canuck. And with the Hunter's Knife, two taps the Canuck and kills it. It had already taken 3 damage from the grenade. So I do the remaining 9 damage to the Canuck. And now I swap out the Hunter's Knife for a Heartseeker and the Rejuvenation Potion. And I'm level 3 Heartseeker Reju Potion ready to go. And then turn 2, I just walk up, spend 2 fate, and I Battlecry Buckshot, just murder 2 of his people. And by murder, I mean do a bunch of damage and knock them down. And that's when Isabel's just like, did you say knockdown? You didn't say knockdown. Stands him up, heals him, and I'm just unable to... I think I'm setting them up for kills, and this is why I just do ton of damage into his team. And then turn after that is when he just recalled them all away. But Kogan was absolutely the champion I needed for both those games. He was amazing. And if I play Krognar, it will be because of Kogan and really the flexibility he brings to your team, whether he's going to go melee ham or load his blunderbuss.
You got a peasant for us?
Sure. Peasant's Cruel. Anytime you fail 2 soul harvests in a row, you get to be on the peasant list. I don't know that lost me my game against Perrin. I ended up losing by, I actually had a 52% chance to win the game, and Perrin pulled off the rerollable 9, I think.
Yep.
To win the game.
Otherwise, so he didn't have to play the game.
Otherwise, I almost for sure kill him. But Cruel could have helped me out by not failing too earlier and being in a better position later in the game.
Well done. Kenny, what do you got?
Well, I just had the one game that you and I played, and it's kind of a tie, if I remember correctly, between Fazeal and champions. Vakir. No, Victor was not a champion. Victor yeah. Shit the bed. But that's operator error. But Rakir and Fazeal were fantastic. I think there was at one point, Fazeal dropped Zim down to what, like 2 or 3 health, and then you swapped him out with someone else and then drop that model down to like 2 or 3 health.
Yeah,
it kind of was
jobber on him.
Yeah, it was kind of going bad for you. And then Rakir won me the game by crit,
one shot poison.
Well, I didn't one shot, but it crit poison, crit again, and then I needed a 10 and got a 10 on the toxin.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, you one modeled a model.
Yeah, it felt good. The despair on your face had almost no bearing on my feelings at that time.
You were
short of taking a victory lap around the store. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, Jeremy.
Hard as a diamond in an ice storm.
But yeah, it was Rakir was very, very good to me. And for a peasant, it was Victor, but I think, again, operator error. I tried to get cute with him.
Yeah.
Moved him up too close, and you dove hard on him that I did not see coming, and he kind of melted for me. So, but that's, again, that's the first time I've played him. I've not really played him. I don't think I played him at all before that. So, I'll get better with it.
Yep. So, I have my champion is only because he died like a champion, and mine was Cruel. He saw a moment. He had one chance, one time, to make something happen, and he saw that there was a soul that was going to be grabbed, and I would auto-lose. But he knew if he grabbed that soul, he could be a hero for just a second, just for a heartbeat. And he went in, and he rolled like an 8 or a 9, I don't remember what it was, because there was dudes around it, and I stole it from Aaron, the evil fucking empire.
You rolled
and
a
then
12.
He immediately died,
you
and I
double sixed that shit.
I immediately, I did, yeah, yeah. Nice. I didn't need that, but yeah, I nailed it. Then he died in the flames of the Phoenix to come back later in another game. But it was just one of those moments where it was like, come on, buddy.
Never tell me the odds.
Exactly. And then a model, it didn't do so good. I feel like it was in the Kenny games. It had to be like, I just couldn't get anything to happen. I don't remember. I guess I just picked myself at this point. I'm still learning a ton and I'm having a lot of fun, and I think I get slightly better, and I'm kind of fixing my mistakes. And like I say, every time I play a game, I am going to start winning, and it's going to be miserable for everybody. I just haven't yet.
So, you're still
enjoy it, guys. Fucking enjoy it.
You're still in the trying to define what you really enjoy phase, I think.
Yeah, I splash a lot of things. Like, I haven't focused on any one thing yet, and it's because, well, not to rub it in your face, Kenny, but all my shit is painted. I think they're all very, very cool looking, and they all have things that I want to try. Like, I don't have any reason not to play all the coolest models. So, and I'm one of those people that if something horrible happens to me, I want to try it. I'm like, ooh, that's awesome. And if it's a model that's really fucking cool looking, I also want to play that. So this game kind of has a lot of both. So yeah, I haven't focused at all.
I'm interested to find out what you're going to make fun of me for when I'm done painting all of this shit.
Oh, don't worry. There will be something.
I'm sure there will
also
be.
Also, I feel like we have a couple years worth of material. I don't see that getting done anytime soon.
I may or may not surprise you.
Probably not.
Probably
not. All right, and with that, is that a cast, y'all?
Yeah, unless we want to go back to Isabel and give her the super sexy hotness rating.
We should.
Ooh! Sexy hotness.
So her actual model, I'm holding it in my hand right now. Okay. Super sexist hotness rating. I'm going to say this one's a 3. Her model itself is pretty...
Or a fucking 2 or a 1.
Yeah.
Stupid.
Yeah. it's not great. it's...
Basically, it's a young boy holding a sword, standing there in a complete lame pose.
The pose I don't mind, but the model is... I mean, is it... It's smaller than Brock. Like...
It's very little.
It's very tiny, and I don't I kind of don't understand why. I'm not trying to throw shade on Creature Caster at all, but
call like you see it. Okay?
But I just don't understand it. My simple Neanderthal brain can't figure out why that model is so small. But apparently, the avatar, the winged angel, looks much better. So maybe I should think about getting that. But then this one's painted, so now what do I do?
Well, the winged avatar is a Kickstarter exclusive. So,
oh, well then.
Kind of hard to get. You can eBay some stuff, maybe.
Or,
shameless plug, in April, we will be giving away a Kickstarter Isabel as a door prize.
I don't want to take that from somebody.
You're going to have to.
The plug wasn't for you, Kenny. It was for anyone else.
Okay. Well, so our April tournament, I didn't know this, we're giving away a Kickstarter Isabel.
A PVC version of the Kickstarter Isabel with the wings, yes.
Awesome. I will at least get a chance to look at the model. And maybe if someone wants to sell it to me.
We'll see who wins it.
We'll find out. I will not participate in a silent auction. I want exclusive rights.
Okay, Jeremy, what's your sexy rating, both normal and Kickstarter versions?
I think aesthetically, it's supposed to be very stoic, very calm, all of that. It's like a 2. It's okay as a model, but it's not exciting at all. But I'm going to say Kickstarter model is about a 9.5. It's fucking phenomenal.
Okay, I'll agree with that. I think the regular model is probably the worst model in the range. Like, if I have to grab a model and throw it out and the range would be better, that would be it. I don't know if they did it on purpose to drive Kickstarter sales. Seems weird. I really don't think that's the actual answer, but Yeah, definitely my least favorite model in the range. But you're right, the Kickstarter version is much more dynamic and pretty awesome looking.
I have not seen it.
I wonder
what
the story is
say.
For that model. I mean, yeah, as you know, like, Andrew's got a story for every fucking thing. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's just that model, that character is just a solemn, got a shield, doesn't really, you know, One Punch Man of this universe. I don't know.
She's the straight man of, well, we're not in,
yeah.
We're not in Farron. I don't know what random world we live in, but yeah. There's an actual name to the, like, fluff.
Oh, is there?
I think.
If I remember correctly, it's being pulled from different realms and different timelines.
The Dungeons and Aussie Dragons? Cool.
Well, I see Midian. I think Midian's the...
Midian?
The universe, if you will. Anyway.
Fair enough.
Yeah, sorry, all I just right, wanted guys, to circle back to that.
That is a cast. Thank you all for listening. It's been a wonderful 2 months, and we'll be around. Take care.
Yeah, have a good one, guys.